Obadiah, just a one chapter book found between Amos and Jonah, I think. Obadiah. This on my mind and want to share it with you tonight. Pray that God would help all of us as we look at it together. We're going to look at the first 9 verses. If you'll stand, please, while we read. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord. An ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye and let us go up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thyself among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves came to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had had enough? If the grasshoppers came to thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? Pause there just a moment. He's making two statements, explanation marks following. How are the things of Esau searched out? And how are his hidden things sought up? And I never had really noticed that before. I'm sure I read it many times, but said the searched out, then the sought up. I'm not preaching on that tonight per se, but Esau, remember, sold his birthright. Esau was at odds with his brother Jacob. And Esau cared not about the things of God, seemingly. And he said they sought out, then they brought up. That's something to meditate on and give you some thought to think about. All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee, prevailed against thee. They that eat the bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Eden, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, we're amazed at how you manifest yourself and your love, your goodness, and mercy. Lord, how you've blessed our hearts, made us to sit together in heavenly places. And Father, tonight you've blessed in the singing. You've helped us come together to worship. And Father, I think about those that are here in this service tonight that have special needs. And my heart cries to you that you'd help them. I pray for them. And Lord, we plead Jesus in the blood and claim that victory in him that you promised never to leave us nor forsake us and go with us all the way. Father, bless them. Then there's those here tonight in the service that they have special needs in their families and situations, and some families that are sick and some different problems. So we pray for all of those and ask you to help them. Then, Lord, those tonight that may be saved, they've come out to the house of God tonight, but there's something wrong in their life. They realize that truth and are concerned about it. I pray for those that are here tonight that know not the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. My heart cries unto you to bring real conviction. Draw them by your power. And I pray tonight be the night they come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Father, we praise you and thank you for Christopher this morning getting saved. Hallelujah. Thank you and praise you. How good it is. And then I pray, God, that you touch him in a special way and help him. And we pray, God, tonight, there's others here, Lord, need to make that same step of faith. Trust Jesus and be saved. I pray you'd help us tonight to preach. We need a divine touch of God. I pray for the Holy Ghost to move upon us and help us to think, and I pray say what we need to say, boldness and yet compassion, and we'll praise you and thank you. Plead the blood, plead victory in Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. In his name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. Felt like praying, just needed to pray. And I tell you right now, praying more important than anything else we'll do tonight. I want God to move on the scene, and I realize God does things different services, different time. None. He doesn't always do in the same way. I thank him and praise him when he lets that breeze come through and the power of God is manifested and we rejoice and praise him and thank him. These other times God settles us down to think and works in our hearts. And I pray tonight that God will work in our hearts and do something to help us in these days. I want to talk about this tonight. I titled it, Why Judgment? Why Judgment? And here we're talking about Obadiah, shortest book in the Old Testament, 21 verses. And this Obadiah, there's at least 12 Obadiahs in Scripture, but you really can't identify this one with any of the others. And so all we know is Obadiah, time of his writing, sometime probably after the Babylonian captivity, soon thereafter, maybe the days of Jeremiah, Ezekiel, somewhere in that area. And then he's talking about this place called Edom. Let me say about Edom. In the Bible, you'll find Edom called Seir, S-E-I-R. You'll find it called Hor, H-O-R. You'll find it called Esau. And all this talking about the same place. It's a strip of land about 100 miles long, 25 to 35 miles wide, located on the main trade route between Egypt and Syria, and located southeast of Judah. And so we realize the fact that this was an important piece of property as far as trade's concerned. And fact is, they thought they could levy and tax as they pleased and prospered thereby in doing so. And Petra was the capital city. It was first called Selma, S-E-L-M-A, and later called that city of Petra, carved out of rock. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But let's look at the book itself, Obadiah, just for a few moments. And in the first 9 verses, we're talking about the teaching here of why of judgment. And talking about some things that I want to bring out tonight. And we'll not tarry too long on that, but I think it'll help all of us. And you that are unsaved, I pray God will really speak to your heart concerning some things here. And then verse 10 through 14, we see here how Edom treated Judah and how Edom had mistreated. You remember even when Moses coming up out of Egypt, wanted to come through the land, they would not give him permission to do so. And they offered even to pay for the water, pay for whatever, anything they ate, whatever, and they would not agree to that. Look at verse number 10. For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, a shame shall cover thee. Thou shalt be cut off forever. In verse 11, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, in the day that strangers carried away captives his forces, foreigners entered into his gates, cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou was as one of them. Thou was as one of them. Said you's on the wrong side. Then verse 13, thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. He said, my people, they're in judgment. Jacob was under judgment. Jerusalem was under judgment. But he said, you ought not to have laid your hands on them. You ought not to have identified with their enemy. It never pays to identify with the enemy of the people of God. It never, God always brings judgment on such things. And so he's dealing with that here in those verses. And the last verses 15 through 21, he now dealing with deliverance will come. I say hallelujah. And I like that deliverance part. He's talking about judgment now. Esau or Mount Edom, you've done wrong. He's telling them what they've done wrong. And verse 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon the heathen, all the heathen. Verse 17, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. And right there is preaching all night if you wanted to take it and handle it. Upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And you can rest assured tonight And Israel will possess her possessions that God gave her in the day that he gave her that land. Promised her the land of Canaan, promised her in that day a promised land, and she will inherit it. She's got part of it now, but the rest of it will be hers one day. You can rest assured that Israel is God's chosen people. But let me take that in typology and say this. The church of the living God is a people of God. And today she's being tramped on, walked on, and tried to put down. But I want you to know tonight, the church will never go down. The church is going to go up, not down. Deliverance will come. Hallelujah. And I'm looking forward to that day. Deliverance will come. And Jesus will come, take us home, and he'll come back and set up a kingdom out of Jerusalem and rule and reign for 1,000 years. I say, glory, hallelujah. You talk about a honeymoon. We'll have a marriage supper over yonder in heaven, come back with Jesus and rule for 1,000 years on this earth. What a day that will be. I praise God, thank God for the reality. And before we talk about the why of judgment here, I just want to tell you there's deliverance, so there is deliverance. God is a God of judgment. He judges sin. And God's a holy God. He's holy, holy, holy. I think we need to be reminded sometimes of the holiness of God. He's not the old man upstairs. He's not somebody laid back overlooking everybody's thing and that they're doing what they think's right. They'll be okay. Just let it go. That's not how God handles things. He's a holy God. He said, be ye holy, for I, the Lord thy God, am holy. We realize the fact that we cannot be holy in the sense that God's holy and separated from sin totally, completely. But we can be holy in the sense that we are separated from the world. And that our hearts is in a different place. Our minds are guided by a different power. And that we are part of the family of God, headed to a place called heaven. I say hallelujah. I'm glad for heaven. Amen. And that blessed place called heaven. Well, let me try to get to the message tonight and preach for just a few minutes. Look in verse number 3 of our text. Here he's talking to Edom, and here's what he says in verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. And I want to talk about that just a little bit tonight. If you'll turn with me, please, back over to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter number 14. Even the very beginning of sin dealt with pride. And I want you to hear me well with this tonight. And I know there's a sense that we use the term, and we don't really mean pride in the sense that the Bible talking about it here. We use the term, Brother Buck is one testifying, and boy, he blessed my heart. He stirred my soul. Talking about being proud of these young folk. And I know what he meant. He didn't mean pride in a sinful way that he did something or they did something. He meant thank God for it. And being thankful for it. And we use that term that way. And we understand that. But the term the pride tonight that we're using it in an opposite direction. And the fact that man thinks he's self-sufficient. He feels like he can handle himself. And Edom is certainly a type in the Old Testament that you can find. People that think they can handle it by themselves and that they do not need God. Let me say very emphatically before I go any further tonight, we all need God to help us. Ain't not a one of us here that can handle our lives by ourselves. Brother Terry sings that song. Well, he used to. I'm going to get him singing again one of these days. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Amen. And I want you to know tonight, I can't even walk without him home. I can't stand up here in the pulpit tonight without him. I cannot go live my life tomorrow without him. I cannot witness without him. I cannot live my life separated from the world without him. I cannot do anything without him. And the youth choir sang that song again this morning, sang it last Sunday too. All we need is the Lord, amen. All that I need is the Lord. And that's absolutely true. If we have the Lord, we have the help we need. He is our help. Thank God he's our help. I'm glad he's our help. He's our deliverance. Deliverance will come. And tonight some of you are going through storms and heartaches and sorrows. But I want you to know the better day's coming. The deliverance will come one day. And you'll step out on the other side and say, hallelujah. God blessed and God did what he said he'd do. And in this life, it's like a fella said when he was laying on his deathbed, said, I'm a winner either way. Somebody wrote a song about it. I'm a winner either way. If I die or if I stay, I'm a winner either way. I want to tell you tonight, if I drop dead in this pulpit, I'm a winner. If I live tomorrow, I'm a winner. If I live 10 years from now, I'm still a winner. Amen. How can you lose when you're headed toward heaven? How can you lose when you're saved by the grace of God? Birth in the family of God, got a new life, and be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. How can you lose in that? You can't lose on the proposition like that. But I'm looking back now where all this started. In chapter 14 of Isaiah, verse 12, talking about how sin got started, how pride got started. It said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the signs of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yea, thou shalt be brought down to hell, the signs of the pit. Lucifer is saying, I will exalt my throne. I'll be like the Most High, talking about God. He said, I'm going to be like him. I will, I will, I will, I will. It's said in those verses, and that's the very essence of sin when we're saying, I will, I will. Let me say to you tonight that know not God as your Savior, Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can say, I'll do this and I'll do that. But I tell you right now, God can change anything he wants to change just as quickly as he wants to do it. Amen. He can do that, and you can rest assured of it. Look with me in the book of Ezekiel. Chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse number 11, starting there. These verses we've read many times, but I think we need to be reminded of them every once in a while. It'll help us. In verse number 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Now, it's going beyond the actual king of Tyrus there, because he said he'd been in Eden and said, Thou hast been in Eden, verse 13. We know that was Satan. The garden of God, every precious stone was thy covering, sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and if thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. He's a created being. He's full of wisdom. He also has music in him. I believe that's why we see so much today happening in our society, that music is behind it. So-called music, some of that stuff, I don't even call it music. I don't believe it's any true music doesn't exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and give God glory. But anyway, they can call it what they will, but it's a noise, and they make all kinds of it today. Verse 14, Thou art the anointed cherubim that covereth. I have set thee so. That was upon thy holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That was perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. There's where sin started. You said, how to get that? I don't know. I just know the fact it was found in Satan. In the devil, iniquity is found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I cast thee down as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O a covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. His wisdom is full of it, but it's corrupted. And said, I'll cast thee down to the ground. I'll lay thee before kings that thou may behold thee. Thou hast defied thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic have thou. Therefore will I bring thee forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror. Never shall be anymore. We realize, read in the book of Revelation that Satan in the end time will be cast into the lake of fire. and will burn forever and forever, and he'll be no more. I'm telling you that this cherubim that covers, called Satan, Lucifer, the devil, he's behind all of it. And he's a, now we can't just blame our sin on him, because he's behind it all. That's where he started. He tempted Eve in the garden, and she deceived, and Adam, they sinned. Adam wasn't deceived, but he sinned willfully. Every one of us has sinned willfully. Ain't not a person in this house that has not sinned willfully. We all have sinned against God willfully. I'll say tonight, though, thank God. I'm glad Jesus made a way for us that we could get out of that mess we was in Adam. And now we're in the last Adam. As the first Adam we die, in the last Adam we made alive. The first Adam sold us out. The last Adam bought us back. And thank God I'm in the bought back crowd. And I'm in that book of Hosea. I remember him as he bid for Gomer. I'm in the Gomer crowd. I got bought back, thank God. And tonight you, if you're unsaved, you can be bought tonight by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already paid the price. He'll have made it possible for you. It's up to you to choose who you're going to serve, God or the devil. Who you going to follow? You say, preacher, I'm not going to serve the devil. If you're not serving God, you're serving the devil. If you're not on God's side, you're on the devil's side. Hey, there's no neutral ground. You can't be neutral about Jesus. Nobody has ever been confronted with Jesus Christ and could be neutral about him. You cannot be. Because once you're confronted with him, you must do something with him. Like Pilate, I said the other Sunday preaching, Pilate had to do something with him. He tried to wash him off his hands. He tried to send him to Herod. He tried to get rid of him. He tried to say, I find no fault in him. He tried to get by without letting him die, but he was afraid of the people, sold him out. And you sell him out when you don't come to him and trust him as your Lord and your Savior. You say, preacher, I'm not proud. You know why some people don't get saved? Because they're full of pride. They don't get their pride out of the way. They're afraid to act like some of us. I say, praise God, I am now one of them. Kind that they used to laugh about and used to think, what's wrong with them? When they take running fits or raise their hand or cry and come to an altar and don't know why they're, you know, just coming to thank God or coming to pray, praying for somebody. I don't want to act like that. You ever get full of God, you don't know how you're going to act. You let God save you by his marvelous grace, he'll tire your mess all to pieces, amen, and you'll start acting funny. And I don't mean that kind of funny either. I'm talking about unusual, amen. I'm glad you'll act like a crowd that knows God. Over in heaven, I was reading in Revelation, and they's all falling down praising God, worshiping him, saying, hallelujah, worthy's the Lamb. I say tonight, hallelujah, worthy's the Lamb. I'm glad tonight I'm in that crowd that says, worthy's the Lamb. Got the pride knocked out of me one Sunday morning, and I was too proud to walk down and admit I was lost. But then that pride got knocked out. I didn't care who was there. It didn't make any difference what they thought about it. Didn't make any difference what anybody else thought about it. I was going to hell. I was without Christ. I needed Jesus. And that's all that mattered. And that's all I could see, all I could think. And God the Holy Ghost did a work in my heart. I say hallelujah and praise his name. He is worthy of all praise that we shall ever give him pride. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, the Holy Spirit before a fall. It'll mess you up, sure as the world. Proverbs 6 and verse 16 talks about this in first part of verse 17. These six things doeth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him. Verse 17, first part of that verse says, a proud look. God hates that proud look. When we think we're self-sufficient, we can handle it, that's when we're in trouble. I want you to turn with me in the book of Daniel. I've just got to read this to you. I'm not going to give you everything I had for tonight. I'd give you part of it. Why don't you give it all of us, preacher? I'm wore out. I want you to look in Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Then the king spake and said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? He said, look what I've done. I built this great kingdom. I did this for my honor, for my majesty. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee is it spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee. God, but God. And they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth to it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He driven from men, did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, his nails like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. I say hallelujah. God got glory when it's all over with. Nebuchadnezzar in all of his majesty, and I can see him in all of his array, in his kingdom. He looked around and said, all this I've done, and it's all for my glory and my honor. And a voice from heaven said, not so. Now, that's, I'm putting in my words now. But God from heaven spoke, and he lost his mind, and he's driven out from men. He got out there in the field, and I believe he's down his hands and knees, eating grass like the oxen did. And he didn't have any, didn't know who he was, didn't know what was going on, until God 7 times passed over, 7 years went by, and then he came to himself and got up. And there's a whole lot of preaching that can't go and all that. But I can tell you this right now. When he came to himself, he blessed the God of heaven. He said, there is. And look at it in verse, well, I done turned from it now. I got to go back and find it again. Won't take me but a minute. In the last verse that I read to you, verse 34, in the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned unto me. I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. I say to you, praise God and the Lamb forever. It is. And I say glory to God tonight. His generation will never go out. He rules, he reigns, and he never loses his mind. He's never going to be dethroned. He's never going to be removed. He is there forever and forever. And I'm a part of his kingdom, and I say hallelujah. And just by the grace and the mercies of God, I'm saved, saved, saved. You're not saved tonight. You let pride stand your way. You're acting like Nebuchadnezzar. You say, I'm going to enjoy sin. I'm going to get by with what I'm doing for her. I'm just going to go ahead and do my thing. But the God in heaven has something to say about that. And God in heaven can bring that down. I've told you before, but let me tell you again. Hey, I've reached the age I can tell them over and over. When I was working in Virginia, and I was working, going to school, and had this old boy. He didn't know God, but he came to me one night, called me aside. He was a boss man. He called me aside. Got to tell me about his wife and asked me if I'd go see her. And she was dying. I got there and got talking to her. She started telling me her story. She said, preacher, so let me tell you how it was. Said, I was the most popular girl on the dance floor. Said, every boy wanted to dance with me. Said, they everybody asked me out. Then I got married. I still partied. I still thought, man, this is the way it ought to be, and this is the way it ought to be. Said, something happened to me one day. And said, my legs give out, and I couldn't stand up. I couldn't walk. I laid in bed. I wept. I cried. I couldn't get well. Doctor said I couldn't get well. But said, then one day, I asked Jesus Christ to save me by his marvelous grace. Said, preacher, I want you to know, I'd rather lay here in this bed. I'd rather know I'm going on to glory and know I'm saved than be out there on all the dance floors, drinking all the beer, drinking all the liquor, having all the pills. I'd rather be right where I am. I'd rather be here than anywhere I know of, because I'm saved, saved, saved. And said, if I'd let it on like I was, God hadn't intervened, I'd have died and went to hell probably. But said, God, in his mercy, let me get like I am. And she was praising God for it. I left there blessed. I don't know how she was when she left, but I left blessed, amen. got to talk to her husband about it and said, hallelujah, thank God for your wife. She got saved. Saved. I hope he did. I don't know what happened to him eventually, but I'm telling you this tonight. God knows how to bring you down. God knows how to get your attention. God knows how to come to where you are. But God, now I'm talking about Edom tonight. And this country of Edom thought they were great, could not be brought down. I want to talk about Petra for just a minute. And that city about a square mile inside of Rock City, and they carved out houses and palaces, and some of the great wonders of the ancient world were found there. And there was a narrow passageway into it. Some of the rock rose up 5,000 feet above sea level. And there's a small narrow passage, 15 feet wide, 1 mile long, that went into that place. On the way in that day, they didn't have airplanes. They couldn't shoot rockets in, didn't have them. And the only way an enemy could come in was come through that narrow gate and come into that city. And they thought they were impregnable. They thought undoubtedly nobody can get in here, and nobody will ever bring us down. We'll do what we want to. We'll live like we want to. We'll charge what we want to. And nobody's ever going to bring us down. But you know what happened? Look in verse number 7, if you would, please. The text, all the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. He said, all those people that you thought was your friends, that you thought was helping you, you thought that you could depend upon them, they deceived you, and they got inside. The Bible doesn't tell us the details about it. He doesn't give us how it happened. He tells us the confederacy, though, turned against them and deceived them, and they were brought down. Let me tell you, that's how the world does you. The world will deceive you, will lie to you, and say, look how much fun this is, look all this, and it's a lie. And they'll deceive you, and the devil will deceive you, and he'll lie to you and take you to hell and laugh at you. God loves you enough to tell you about it. Then he goes on in this verse and talks about the wisdom. In verse 9 says, a mighty man, O Teman. Did you know one of the comforters of Job was Eliphaz, who was a Temanite? He came from a descendant from Esau, and they thought they knew everything, but they didn't. God is the only one that knows everything. You think we may know a little bit, but all we know is what little bit God lets us know. God knows everything there is to know. You say, preacher, you don't know how I live. No, but God does. You don't know what I do. No, but God does. You don't know if I'm saved or lost. No, but God does. You don't know what I'm going through. No, but God does. God knows everything. Let me close tonight by saying this. Edom was brought down and destroyed because she would not believe God. Didn't care. Fact is, they didn't even find idols there. They didn't need God. They needed God. They just were safe, they thought. You think you're safe? You think you're all right? You think you're going to make it? God, but God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you, Lord, for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege to open the Word of God. Think about these things tonight. Lord, you laid it up on my heart. And I realize tonight, Lord, that we can't make people do anything. We can't read their hearts. We can't know what they're thinking. But you do. And I pray tonight the Holy Ghost would do a work in their hearts. Help them, God, to see their need. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody's looking. Just myself and God. We're going to sing. In just a moment, every head bowed, every eye closed. I am not going to come to anybody and try to embarrass you in any way. But I wonder how many of you tonight could honestly say without a question, without a doubt, I know that I'm saved. Raise your hand up high for the glory of God. I know that I'm saved. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all over the house. Many, many hands went up. I couldn't look at everybody in congregation this size, know whether everybody did or not, but I know that some that didn't. And I know that God's give you another opportunity to come to know Jesus. But God one day is going to say, that's enough. He's going to deal with your life. And tonight God's saying, I love you. I care enough about you to send a message. Why judgment? Don't let pride stand in your way. Don't let the sinfulness of this world stand in your way. Don't let anything or anybody stand in your way. Come to know Jesus tonight. Father, I pray you'd help those that could not lift their hands, that they'll come to know Jesus Christ tonight as their Savior and their Lord. I pray for those that may be here tonight and need to come and pray and bring their burdens, their cares, whatever it is. Have your way in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.